Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Memphis was ready this go around. And I think you saw that sort of reflected in national media. Memphis was considered the biggest loser of expansion. So if and when it does come around again, I would be stunned if Memphis doesn't get in next time.
Well, I'll tell you this, that it, right now, Memphis is still on very much the Big 12's radar, along with Boise State. And there is a feeling that I get based on what maybe Texas and Oklahoma eventually do when it comes to their exit fees, that the Big 12 pretty much is already ready. As soon as that happens, whenever that does happen, you're going to see more expansion within the Big 12. That's just kind of a generic nugget, but I think, John, maybe we'll be having you on talking about Memphis playing Baylor.
So how about that? How about that? That is not me saying it. That is somebody who lives in Waco, Texas, mm-hmm. who covers a Big 12 program, the national champions in basketball, who is saying that he thinks – that he'll be having me on to talk about Memphis playing Baylor in the future, that Memphis remains on the Big 12's radar along with Boise State, even in the midst of everything that went down. And so I think the larger message is this is why you cannot give up now, mm-hmm. because you're in the red zone in the grand scheme of expansion, right? You were starting at your own 25, 5 years ago. And you started winning. You started winning conference championships. Started beating Power 5 teams, SEC teams. Had a couple coaches come in and move on to bigger jobs. And you showed that upward mobility. And so you've advanced the ball. You're past midfield. And now I think, quite frankly, you're in the red zone. And the way that you cross the goal line, to just stay with this stupid football analogy, is to keep investing. Is to continue to try to strive for better.
Yeah.
On the Liberty Bowl, a different stadium, which is what the president, M. David Rudd, is trying to do here, and make sure that when he leaves in less than a year from now, that person who comes behind him, his successor, knows what's at stake.
No, you're absolutely right. It's further evidence that the perception on Memphis has changed completely since 2016, even. There's no question about it. And it's a great thing. We said that what could come out of Memphis winning on Saturday will – maybe change the expectations on the season. Sure, we talked about that. Maybe you can see yourself now in an AAC title game. But the other part of that, and the bigger part of it, quite frankly, for the future of the program, was it can serve as a reminder to folks that look at what Memphis football is accomplishing right now.
Yep.
They're knocking off SEC-level opponents right in what's supposed to be transition years.
Yes, exactly.
They've done it now through different coaches. They're doing it through different quarterbacks.
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, you see what's happening on Sundays? Like you got Memphis players
exactly.
starring in backfields. Don't act that helps you too in terms of staying at the forefront of these folks' minds and the perception of Memphis football now. It's the best thing smoking outside of the Power Five. And whether it's we talked about Feinbaum, who we've had on, McMurphy, or now your guy down here in Waco,
yep.
they're all saying the same thing, that it's a no-brainer. That Memphis has reached that level now where it should be invited to the party. That has changed, and it's more reason to keep pushing.
Exactly.
Not to go with Veach and Rudd's letter.
Yep.
After that, the day of when we're saying, oh, it's a sad day in Memphis because we're seeing the Big 12 signs with Cincinnati on them and all that.
Yep.
Right? And that letter says keep – this is even more reason to, because the perception has changed, the progress has mattered, and listen, this is the reason – the American ain't going to be able to go out and get Boise State.
100%.
Because Boise State, too, is hoping it's right there with you.
Dude, trust me. Boise State is aware of what they're saying
and
in the Big 12.
And they're hoping they're a no-brainer, just like Memphis, and that you, too, are going to go in, you know, whenever this thing does open back up, working out with the Texas and Oklahoma
exit. Now, there is going to be...
So it's real evidence that the perception has changed. You
absolutely.
Still got to get in.
Yes.
But the national perception of Memphis clearly has changed.
Well, I mean...
That's why it's worth continuing to fight.
You know,
you have to.
After I got off with them, they were saying Memphis should be an addition. You know? Like, it wasn't just like, oh, we're going to entertain the Memphis guy and say that Memphis... No, it was like, they said Memphis should be an addition to this league, which is a world away from what anybody in a Power 5, Autonomy 5 conference has ever said about the University of Memphis. This is not just us making things up. This is not me and Jason being homers here. This is what people are actually saying in the Big 12, in markets that cover the Big 12. And that is just a complete removal.
It's a night and day difference.
And I think you make a good point here. It's three coaches, but it's four quarterbacks now.
Yes.
You know, it's not just, Icarus, right? If Paxton Lynch comes through here and then you can't replace him.
You remember the point that Norlander made in that article was that UConn had a little bit of football success, right? And
and
started to think that was sustainable, and it was not.
Yep.
And he was comparing Memphis' situation to that.
Yep.
When clearly now you are established it's different than what UConn's got. Back to that point of doing it through coaches, through quarterbacks now, continuing that sustained level of success.
That's right.
This isn't a flash in the pan, is the point on this.
That's exactly right.
And clearly you've not just seen the difference on the football field with the wins, you've seen this change in perception of what Memphis football is right now and what it could be. And they clearly see it of value to the Big 12 Conference. Now, again, he ain't Bowlesby. He's not going to make the final decision.
Correct.
But that perception will matter.
Yes.
Right? If they get to this point of opening up, you want to be one of the two schools that feels like it's a no-brainer to bring in.
Well, the other piece of this that I found sort of fascinating is just the certainty kind of with which they discussed expansion again. You know, because you would think, all right, you're adding Houston, Cincinnati, BYU, and UCF, like you're probably going to be cool for a while, even with the departures of Texas and Oklahoma. But it was almost like not even a talking point. It was like the Big 12 is going to do this again in the near future. Whenever they get Texas and Oklahoma settled and figured out, they're going to want to go back to 14.
Hadn't that been the predominant thought, though? Have you seen many reports that said they're not, that they'll just stay there? I thought that's kind of what we've thought the entire time, is that they'd look to go back up.
Because Bowlesby kind of left that open. You know, he said, we're never done looking. So I think that's the other piece of hope for Memphis fans. I just don't know who else, because SMU would be the other one, right? SMU would be the other team that you might consider would be sort of on the same level as
you. If South Florida ever gets up off the mat, but it doesn't feel like that's going to happen anytime soon.
Hopefully
they stay right where they're at. They've dropped.
I don't think SMU would get the votes. I really don't. Because you've already got Texas Tech there. You've already got Baylor. You've already got Houston. I just don't think they're going to want to add SMU. I can't see that. I don't think they see that as a super valuable addition. You know, Memphis, with obviously its support financially, with what they would bring there, with the momentum of both programs, and
I mean, it talked about the basketball side, not because it doesn't drive this,
correct?
But you would have a pretty,
but the better Memphis back, like
you'd have a great thing going on the basketball side.
You
of the
can't
Big
tell me
there.
That Man. Cincinnati did not benefit from the timing of this, the fact that in this particular year they are a top 10 team, that they are
absolutely.
You know, if
again, you're staying at the forefront.
I wonder if you flip-flop Memphis and Cincinnati right now, right? Like if Memphis is the number 8 team in the country right now, you know? I just wonder how different it could have been. Like if Memphis, if Big 12 expansion happens 2 years ago when Memphis is, you know, competing for the AAC championship, I just hosting game day, I wonder how different it would be.
Well, people talk about the perception of South Florida, back to that point, how much it's changed and why they didn't have a shot in this top 3 over. I mean, essentially passed by UCF.
Correct.
At one point, you were in a much better position.
Yes.
Again, that thing's sort of fallen on hard times, and here you are. Nobody's talking about them as the no-brainer for if this thing happens again.
South Florida certainly doesn't not on even that get talked cut. About anymore.
Nah, man.
You know, and they got in the Big East. I mean, they left Conference USA in 2003 or 2004.
They've blown it, and UCF folks are giddy about it. They've dropped off the map in those. While at the same time, yes, you're not Cincinnati top 10. But again, you have maintained this ability to stay relevant.
Yes,
you've done that now for through, like we said, through coaches, through quarterbacks, and that's value.
Yep.
there. And I think it does. I think it helps you seeing Memphis guys in the NFL all over. Oh, that's not a program that just had a good 2 or 3 years because of one quarterback.
Yep.
This is something that has now, you know, has been sustained. It's, you know, it's a – as much as we're talking about, man, it's bad news for Memphis, bad news for Memphis, bad news for Memphis when these guys are moving on from you, what's the American going to do? This feels like just as good a news because I think we all know that – that expansion is not done.
Correct.
Right? And again, if you can be the best thing outside, well, that's your ticket to being invited inside.
And I think, quite frankly,
Mississippi State win helped that. I mean, it just continues to reinforce
what
you're doing. It really does.
It's all about perception.
We said it wasn't going to get you in, but it could reinforce the fact that you got snubbed here. Look at what this program's accomplishing. So thanks, Mike Leach.
You know, it's just the perception is
– and those SEC officials.
Houston as a market you know, is going to add value. We'll see. I have serious doubts about that. I think Houston basketball and football are just so fourth and fifth place in that market. That might be enough. That might be a big enough piece of the pie to them that it's worth it, clearly. But I think that was more about the Fertitta angle than anything else, the fact that he's just going to basically financier that whole entire deal. But the perception is, you know, UCF, look what they've done in the last 5-6 years. I don't think UCF demonstrably, they had that undefeated season, right? But if you just sort of take the last 5-6 years of UCF and Memphis, very similar in terms of what they've achieved. You know, Houston has not done much 5-6 years. Cincinnati right now, top 10 team. You know, perception, that's what matters. So when you beat an SEC team and you're doing it on national television, that is the stuff that matters. Obviously, on some level, presidential, academics, but it's not at the forefront like people would want you to believe. It's just not. It's about perception and what you have to offer in the market and things like that. So, you know, it adds to the pressure. I think it adds to the, like, President Rudd, I mean, I think every decision he is making now is a very strategic one. The next step of this journey is we need to ish or get off the pot with the Liberty Bowl. I mean, I hate to put it in those terms, but it's like, put something in it or do away with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that is something that's working against you right now. There aren't a lot of things working against you right now, but that is
I don't think it keeps you out, though.
Well, as long as you can get money into it.
Maybe if you're just standing pat, you don't get the 40, the 50, and this on-campus thing just dies. You know, they look at you and say, well, wait a minute. Everybody else has got these facility upgrades. They either just
did. It's got to be one or the
other.
Or
has got it coming. But I don't, you know, hopefully this will, you know, spur that on,
exactly.
Obviously, how close you are. That's
exactly
the hope. And I don't see why it wouldn't. I don't see why it wouldn't.
Yes.
But if you're looking for cons, I suppose that could still be one. Hopefully it wouldn't.
Because there are going to be teams looking for – I mean, everybody's going to be attacking each other. You know, they're going to be –
Yeah, but what it matters now is who are the other ones attacking and how do they stack up in terms of what you've done.
Right.
Boise State, you
– San Diego State, you know. I mean, they're going to be
– SMU, maybe. We'll see.
Yep.
But you got a lot to offer.
But they might go 16. Everything's on the table, right? Everything is on the table in the next 5 years.
But here's the thing. If you ever get this expansion of the playoff, which we know at some point's coming,
it's just
super murky on that right now. Could be some news on that today. Maybe not. You want to make sure you're in one of those big ones.
Yes.
Right? Because what's left of the American guys, I mean, we can't promise that there's going to be a seat at the table for you. I know what it was, a top six conference champs would be in. American's still going to be a top six conference, you know, and that's why it's critical that you continue this push and get on into the you know, Big 12, whatever it's going to be,
no,
but get into the Power 5.
The AAC,
because it's going to be a mess once these guys are gone. That spot's different now that Cincy and UCF and Houston won't be there.
It basically becomes an elephant's graveyard. Like, that's what it is. You're going to be scratching and clawing. And Memphis is going to have to deal with this too, because it's not going to happen tomorrow. You're going to be scratching and clawing with Mountain West as to, you know, which league is better.
Is better.
And
right,
which
outside
one,
the five, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Will that be an issue in time for college football playoff expansion? I don't know. Like, we'll see. I mean, I think Memphis certainly hopes by the time the expansion would go into effect, they'd be on their
way
out.
Dipping on over to the Big 12. At
but, you know, whatever. It's a sort of weird holding pattern that Memphis finds itself in, but I think the reinforcement is, you know, just but with something as simple as a Waco radio station inviting me on talking about the Memphis in the Big 12, continue to apply that pressure on everybody, on boosters, on constituents, on the Board of Regents, on everybody.
You can't afford to turn back.
Exactly.
Especially
on the city.
When you see how close you are to the destination here, it feels like.
Because you can't afford the alternative.
Everybody sees you getting close.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You just can't. And so I think Memphis understands that. And
as much as you've poured into it now, that's what I'm saying. That program deserves it.
Absolutely.
The continued investment.
Mark Giannotto is a sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal. Catch him on Giannotto and Jeffrey every afternoon from 2 until 4. He joins us every Wednesday, and he joins us now. Mark, I want to start with just a very anecdotal thing, but Memphis beats Mississippi State on Saturday in a controversial play that we've sort of gone over a million times by now. But in the wake of this, I get an invitation to go on a radio show, radio station in Waco, Texas, which of course is the home of Baylor, which plays in the Big 12 Conference. Do you think that's a coincidence?
I don't know. I guess this radio host in Waco, it caught his attention that Memphis beat Mississippi State. I think it underscores that, you know, the point that when you win that game, it's not just, you know, you're not just beating in the mind. People aren't going to remember. I don't think people will remember necessarily that Mississippi State was a 4-8 team. Let's say they end up 4-8 that Memphis beat. They're going to remember that Memphis beat Mississippi State. And those wins, you know, the fact that Memphis is 6-6 in its last 12 Power 5 games, that stuff resonates. You know, I know it's disappointing that the quality of Memphis football and the quality of Memphis basketball isn't what's driving, you know, conference realignment talk, but I don't think wins like that are totally irrelevant. Like, I don't think that they're ultimately the difference in getting into a conference like the Big 12, but a lot of times, like, that's what you have to get in the conversation to begin with. And Memphis, because it's been so good in football and it has this great tradition in basketball, the football part of it, getting those types of wins and getting them, you know, seemingly, you know, we're talking about basically every other year, Memphis has gotten a big win over a Power 5 team over the last 6 years. And people remember that stuff. You know, sometimes they don't remember the first one or the second one, but when you start doing it every year, they start to notice. That's what happened with Boise State. That's how Boise State has, like, Boise State ultimately, like, Boise's not a great market. It's not a better market than Memphis. It's in Idaho. But because Boise State's in these conversations because they stockpiled a lot of wins, to the point now, even though they haven't probably won that many big games lately, you still kind of think of them that way. You know, like, Memphis has probably won more games over Power 5 teams over the last 5-6 years than Boise State. I'm saying that off the top of my head, but just judging from what Boise State's done the last 5-6 years, Memphis has been better. So I think that's what it's a sign of, is that, you know, Memphis now, you know, has a reputation. And ultimately, if the Big 12 expands, I would think if you're thinking about the Big 12 strictly from a competition standpoint in the two biggest sports, like, as of today, I don't see how you could think the league will be better off competition-wise without Memphis, given the other choices. Like, unless you're taking Pac-12 teams, like, the Big 12's options, if they're truly thinking of, we want to have the best football league possible, and secondarily, we want to maintain a good men's basketball league, an arguably great men's basketball league. Like, if Memphis keeps doing what it did Saturday, if, you know, they're relevant in basketball, like, I think that stuff's going to matter in the end. I got to believe it's going to matter. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive because college sports is so driven by money and market size and whatever, but I think, to me, in the end, you know, when it came down to it, like, I could see the arguments why Memphis got bypassed this round. I didn't necessarily agree with all of them, but I could understand why some, you know, a university president who hasn't been up close and personal with the Memphis program would overlook Memphis. It happens, unfortunately, all the time. But this next round, when I look at the other candidates, I just feel like it really would be a travesty if Memphis got overlooked. And, you know, ultimately, the Big 12, the way they've talked about this, they left the door open. It's very clear they're planning to to expand. I just don't think all those national reports and the open-ended way these athletic directors and Bob Bowlesby are talking, like, you know, whether it's because the Pac-12 takes some Big 12 teams in the next round of expansion, or the Big 12 just adds a couple teams, like, I think in a couple years it feels like there's going to be another round of this. And so I think, you know, the Waco, Texas station giving you a call, John, I think is a sign of this is going to be a story over the next couple years that's not necessarily going to go away. It's going to be ever-present in a lot of the things we watch when we're watching Memphis football and basketball. Like, a lot of things that happen over the next couple years, yes, you're going to view them in the context of what does it mean for this season, what does it mean for this particular team, but you're also going to be thinking about them in the context of what does this mean for down the line here when the Big 12 comes calling again. Like, the results, I think, take on a different meaning the next few years.
How much did Saturday's result, beating Mississippi State, and let's go ahead and combine it with the injury news for Dylan Gabriel at UCF, how much did all of that, Mark, change what you think Memphis can do this season in the AAC? Can they be the second best team? Because I don't think we're ready to have a conversation about first yet. Cincinnati's been, can they be the second best team in the AAC in a conference they were picked to finish fifth this season?
Yeah, I really think it gave me more confidence that they can do it. Like, I said going into the year, I thought this was going to be more of a transitional year because of the quarterback situation. But I thought the ceiling was second best team in the AAC. I didn't know if that was necessarily realistic, but I thought it was the ceiling of the team. Now it feels a lot more realistic 3 weeks into the year because I just really think when you look around, like, I know people, there's some people who are viewing the Mississippi State win as, well, that's going to be like maybe the worst team in the SEC West. They're going to be like a 4-8 team or whatever. But I just think if you put that Mississippi State team in this current AAC, only Cincinnati is clearly better than them. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I don't think you can say Memphis won the game, but they're not clearly better than Mississippi State. If anything, Mississippi State was probably the slightly better team in the traditional statistics. Memphis just, you know, made plays when it needed to. You know, like, they play that game 10 times. You know, I'm guessing Mississippi State wins more than Memphis, to be quite honest with you. But the point of that is to say Memphis is not going to face, I really don't think, especially now that Dylan Gabriel's hurt, I don't think they're going to face a team the rest of the year that's demonstrably better than Mississippi State. And I say that in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon, you know, they could face Cincinnati in the AAC championship game. But they don't have Cincinnati on the schedule this year. And, you know, I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated or whatever, but I just think when you look at the schedule now, I mean, this Texas San Antonio game looks much tougher than expected, but you get them at home.
Right.
I think it's good that Texas San Antonio beat Illinois. So, like, you know, it's hard. It's harder to overlook them because they've already taken out Illinois. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the AAC slate. I mean, their next three games after that are against Temple, Tulsa, and Navy. None of those teams have won a game yet this year. Then you have UCF and SMU. Those are going to be tough games, but UCF got a little bit easier now that their quarterback's out. SMU, you get at home. You have an at Houston game. Again, these aren't going to be easy games. I'm not necessarily saying Memphis is going to win them all, but I just think even Houston, you know, they lost when they had a comparable game to Memphis. They played Texas Tech. Memphis played Mississippi State. You know, kind of two middling Power Five teams. You know, Memphis won its game, and Houston kind of coughed up a big lead and lost by two touchdowns. And Tulane, you know, just, you know, Ole Miss could have scored 100 on them if they wanted to. So it just all looks a little – one, Memphis looks a little – Memphis looks better positioned than it did when the season started because, you know, even in Seth Hennigan's worst game out of the three, which was this past Saturday against Mississippi State, you know, he didn't really do any – like, he didn't do anything that hurt them that badly. Even the interception, you know, he made the tackle on the interception –
He wasn't a detriment to the effort. And that's, you know, a lot of times that's what you need out of a freshman quarterback. You don't want him like doing what like Zach Wilson did with the Jets in the NFL. I know it's different levels, but you know, sometimes those first time starters, especially when they're young, they just have games where they, you know, throw three interceptions and it completely derails whatever else you're doing as a team. Steph Hennigan doesn't look like that type of quarterback so far. And even in his worst effort. And so I think that has made you feel like they are better than expected because the quarterback situation feels more settled than you expected. And then I think you add in the fact that, frankly, other than Cincinnati, the AAC looks a little worse than you thought it was going to be. So I think it's very, like, I've gone from thinking being second in the AAC and going to the AAC championship for the fourth time in 5 years, which is pretty incredible to think about. I've gone from thinking that's the ceiling to now I think it's realistic. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think it's a realistic goal now for them to be the second best team in the AAC this year.
So, you know, you mentioned the quarterback situation. I mean, what's the upshot here? Seth Hennigan was not prolific. He certainly wouldn't say he's prolific against Mississippi State, but he did what he had to do to manage his team to a victory. What's the upshot for that position? Is this now unequivocally his job this season and next season and the year after that, provided he stays in this program? Like, what is the upshot for that position and the future of it for Memphis and Ryan Silverfield?
I think it's certainly his job this year. And then it depends on how this year ends. You know, like let's be honest, if they finish second, if they go to the AAC championship game, mm-hmm. like you're not going to change quarterbacks after that. It's just not like, why would you do that? Well, unless there's an injury or something. So I think it's his job for the rest of the year, certainly. And if he continues playing the way he's playing right now, it's going to be his job for the foreseeable future. Now the question is, hopefully he can keep playing well. I think that's the key to it. I mean, ultimately it's about performance. College, frankly, in my mind, is not quite like the NFL where you just, someone emerges and then, okay, that's my quarterback for the next 3 years. I think it's a little more dictated week to week, or I guess month to month, and season to season than like the NFL where, you find that franchise quarterback and yeah, maybe they have a sophomore slump or a bad month and a half, but you know what? You've invested tens of millions of dollars in them and that's going to be your guy. In college, there's scholarship guys behind him. So I'm not going to sit here and say 3 games into his career, he's going to be the quarterback 3 years from now. But I certainly think it's, he has to play poorly for it not to be. And he hasn't played poorly. He's been pretty good. So he's your quarterback of the foreseeable future. And let's see how this season plays out before we declare him like the guy for 3 years from now. I don't know. I think it depends on how the rest of this year plays out.
Saw Paul Feinbaum says that he believes that Deion Sanders would be an unbelievable hire at USC, that it would go, and John and I were saving this for a little later, but I'm curious as to your thoughts. What say you, would that be a smart move for USC, getting Deion Sanders? What do you think?
They'd win the press conference. I think people would be excited about it. I would be a little concerned just in terms of what has Deion really done in terms of results on the football field. I think he's been, I've been impressed with how he's running that Jackson State program with like the way, it seems like an organized operation and there's like he's got a real plan in place there to really take Jackson State to a place feels like HBCU football teams haven't been in a long, long time. But Deion's been really good at taking the attention away from the fact that, like, for instance, this weekend he lost to Louisiana Monroe, I think he's now 7-6 in his first 13 games at Jackson State. He's not like his team was not picked to win the SWAC this year. So I would say I think it would be a big splash. And in a market like L.A., frankly, like the side of Deion, the off-field side of Deion, makes a lot of sense for USC because you need a guy who can break through all the stuff. You know, you're like USC football, as big as it is in the college football world, that market, like the Lakers are bigger, the Dodgers are bigger. You know, UCLA basketball, traditional, you know, also a traditional power. You know, you just got a lot of stuff going on in L.A. Then they add in the Hollywood stuff and all that, the stars there. But Deion would help you break through all that. But, you know, can he, you know, can he, you know, ultimately USC is trying to hire a coach who can win a national championship. I don't know if I've seen enough from Deion as a football coach to be able to confidently say that. So that, I guess that's where I'm at. I think where Deion to me makes a lot of sense is in a couple years, and I hate to say it, Florida but it's State. Florida State. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where, you know, I think he needs a couple of years of seasoning, if you will. I think it's a little too, that'd be a big jump to make really quickly for Deion. If I was an AD, especially an AD in a place like USC where this hire is so important, I think I would want to see more proof that, you know, he's not just going to win the press conference, he can win the Pac-12.
Grizzlies Media Day is on Monday. We will be out there. What's going to come out of that? What will we be saying about the Grizzlies after Media Day?
I mean, I think it feels like this year, and you're starting to see it, I think the talk of Media Day will probably revolve around Jaren Jackson Jr., I think, just because it feels like during that playoff run last year and during the stretch run, whether it was Ja Morant or Kyle Anderson or Dylan Brooks, there was a certain consistency level. You knew what you were getting from them every night for the most part. And we weren't at that point with Jaren, and it feels like his development, his ability to stay healthy is the key piece in what this group becomes. And so here he is, you know, back healthy again. To me, he's kind of the story, at least early on. Like, what, you know, what sort of player is he? Is he truly the number two guy with Ja Morant? Or does he still look like the player who was trying to figure it out even when he came back last year? I think that to me is the story of that's probably, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like he's the one mystery on this team. I think at this point, you know, I know that there's Steven Adams, how he fills in for Jonas, but and I guess Zaire Williams, but it feels like he's going to be on the back burner, sort of. It feels like the biggest, for the most part, we know what we're going to get. Or at least, you know, we know what we're going to get from each of the guys on the team, except for Jaren, and he happens to be the second most important piece on the team. So it feels like early on, that to me is the biggest storyline, is what does he look like? Does he look like, you know, the most, you know, a guy who could win most improved player in the year, a guy who could be a, you know, who can be, you know, put up 20 a game and shooting threes and all the stuff we've seen glimpses of, but, you know, because of injuries have not seen over a 82 game season. So that, because it feels like, you know, this off season showed us that they have decided that these two guys, we obviously knew Ja was, you know, he's emerged as just, you know, obviously a potential superstar. But I thought this offseason reinforced how confident they feel that, or how much, and maybe not confident is not the right word, how much they're relying on Jaren becoming a really, really good NBA player.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all.
All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!